It's Weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jackie Lydon. Space exploration. It stirred our imaginations, piloted our hopes and dreams as a people, made us dizzy over its possibilities of a brave new world of Tomorrowland.
Space, the final frontier.
America's Mercury astronaut!
Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
We have a main
But in the future, will the great NASA programs that put Neil Armstrong on the moon put the next and the next generation of astronauts anywhere off Earth? Would you settle for exploring an asteroid? Or will our airbrushed dreams of space evolve with a kind of public-private partnership that couldn't have been imagined when Houston scientists still used slide rulers? That's our cover story tonight, where we've been, where we're going, and the future of space exploration, an Earthling perspective. Brian Shiro is a distinctly terrestrial sort. First of all, he's a geophysicist. That's just his day job, though. He's still working on his childhood dreams.
When I was in middle school, I went to space camp down in Alabama, which was just phenomenal. And I knew then that I had to be an astronaut. In fact, I remember I was up in the front of the group of kids, and I asked, "Where's your zero-G room?" Because I just thought it had to exist.
Brian Shiro, who's 34, now lives in Honolulu. A generation ago, he would have been in orbit by now and become a NASA astronaut. He's got all the skills, the math, the science, the multiple marathons run. For his dream, he's invested all his vacation and free time into training to be an astronaut. He did make it to zero gravity in a centrifuge here on Earth in a NASA-sponsored training exercise.
This helps prepare you for the way the blood moves in your body during the launch and reentry. Another thing we do that's really interesting is we spin everybody around in this device. You might call it a torture device, and it's meant to find where your motion sickness tolerances are.
But now, NASA's just not doing manned missions. Last year was the final year of the space shuttle. Now, if a NASA astronaut wants to get to the International Space Station, he or she must hitch a ride there on a Russian rocket. And as NASA cuts back on the manned mission idea, the private sector is stepping up in various ways. Tarek Malik writes for the website space.com.
Elon Musk, the CEO of SpaceX and Tesla Motors, he put all of his own money into these private rockets and spaceships. And last year, in 2012, they flew not only once, but twice to the space station with this robotic cargo ship.
One thing space exploration is fostering is adventurism. Richard Branson is the owner of Virgin Airlines. He founded a private space company of his own called Virgin Galactic and hopes to open a spaceport in New Mexico for tourists later this year. He'll offer 6-minute weightless rides into space. And a slew of other private companies are building and testing spaceship prototypes to carry people and cargo, all in the hopes that space exploration will be profitable. John Grunsfeld is a retired astronaut and the Associate Administrator for Science at NASA. He says this is all just as it should be. It's a natural evolution, a seed company spinoff from NASA, if you will.
The reason they're successful is because we've had 50 years of investment in learning how to explore space. You know, the technology for the engines, the turbopumps, the launch systems, the electronics, the computers. You know, all of that is now flowing out into the private sector in these more innovative companies. And when they are successful, it will make our space program stronger and also provide an economic engine for the country.
For astronaut hopeful Brian Shiro, these private companies may be his best hope of getting off Earth. Twice, he's applied to be a NASA astronaut. Last week, he found out once again that he didn't make the cut. No worries, he says. He intends to become an astronaut with or without NASA. So you are ready. You are ready to go into space.
Yeah, at a moment's notice. If you need an astronaut, I'm here.
Check out his website. It's called Astronaut for Hire. Send this man into orbit. How about 7 continuous months of orbit? That's how many days and weeks Michael Lopez Alegria spent in space. He's a record-breaking former astronaut who spent more hours spacewalking than any other human being. And he says Shiro shouldn't get discouraged, and neither should you nor I if we want to go into space.
To become an astronaut in the government sense requires a certain sort of type of education, you know, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, that sort of fields. What I would add now is that if you like journalism, for instance, and not math, you can also become an astronaut. It might be a different way, but NPR should be sending people to space in the not-too-distant future.
I'm ready. So NASA's role, says John Grunsfeld, the NASA administrator, is to keep undertaking things like the Hubble telescope and Mars rovers and other big concept ideas.
What we do at NASA is inspiring, it's reaching, it's visionary, and it inspires people here on Earth to try hard things. I think it's really a sign of great American strength that we do invest the money we do in technology in these hard projects in NASA.
Just last summer, when the Mars rover touched down on Mars, the action in the NASA control room was live broadcast to a crowd of thousands in New York's Times Square.
Touchdown confirmed. We're safe on Mars.
But exploration comes at a price, a big one. Let's go back to Tarek Malik, the writer for Space.com, who explains the NASA budget.
Last year, they did take a hit. They had a relatively flat budget of $17.7 billion. That was still, you know, $59 million less than what they got in 2012. And they had to make cuts. They cut hundreds of millions of dollars from planetary science. And this is in a year where they had a spectacular success. They landed the biggest robot on Mars. That can move around, the Curiosity rover.
$17.7 billion sounds astronomical, but it isn't really, says John Grunsfeld of NASA.
Our country, you know, invests a tiny fraction of 1% in NASA, and this is what's so amazing to me is with that small investment, we do so much for the country.
So NASA is trying to reset its goals. President Obama has talked not of revisiting the moon, which President George W. Bush had done, and the money for that visit never materialized. Instead, President Obama has reconceived the next big space push.
NASA's goal, as set by the Obama administration, is to send astronauts out into deep space to visit a near-Earth asteroid by 2025. And if that goes swimmingly, then to take aim at Mars sometime in the mid-30s.
And Tarek Malik thinks visiting an asteroid is pretty gutsy.
And everyone can see the moon at night. When Obama took office, he scrapped that plan to trade it with this asteroid one, which they hope will capture the imagination of folks more because it's never been done before.
He points out that space exploration is still wildly popular with the public. Last year, NASA got more applicants for the next astronaut training class than ever before, and that class will be announced this spring. So space travel still has a cultural role to play as a change agent for the future, an embodiment of what-ifs. At the National Air and Space Museum here in Washington, visitor Bruce Prestige remembers a time when just sending people into space seemed impossible.
We first heard the beep from Sputnik when I was a kid, and nobody thought, nobody will ever be able to go up in space, no human being.
Sputnik, remember what we just told you, that last year's NASA astronaut applications were the largest such pool ever. And the dreams of going into space seem like a shared optimism for us Earthlings. Michael Lopez Alegria says he still wants to go back.
It's amazing now when I look back, and I sound like an old retired guy, which I am now, but even after I flew the first time and the second time and a month later, you'd go back and try to sort of live the moment again, and you can't do it. It's just such a different, it's almost a really different dimension, and it's like a dream. So you can be there or you can be here, but you can't be in both places at the same time.
And even if we don't send an astronaut to Mars, we're still making amazing discoveries.
We have discoveries every single day. One of the recent things that we discovered with Hubble is an observation from something called the Hubble Ultra Deep Field. And this was an observation where Hubble stared in one part of the sky for a long time to bring out a time-lapse picture of the ancient universe. And we've observed now a galaxy, and actually there's more than just one galaxy, that existed when the universe was only about 500 million years old. And so we're seeing for the very first time the baby pictures of the universe.
Baby pictures of the universe. Yesterday's news of the Mars rover drilling into rock. A Chinese New Year's greeting and song sent from astronauts in space. New discoveries every day. The science fiction writer Ray Bradbury, author of The Martian Chronicles and many other books, died last summer. He was born in 1920 and definitely came from a time when space exploration was only a dream. But it was something he deeply believed in. He once told Playboy magazine, "We need something larger than ourselves. That's a real religious activity. That's what space travel can be, relating ourselves to the universe." Coming up, what happens when reincarnated Buddhist lamas leave the monasteries in the high mountains of Tibet?
Suddenly, all the years of meditation and training and, well, all that's just kind of fell away at the sight of a beautiful woman in many cases.
The Wayward Journeys, Buddhist High Lamas on the Lam. Next on Weekend All Things Considered from NPR News.